Hello and welcome to The Bullhorn, a local news podcast brought to you by the Utah Statesman.
Welcome everyone. We're your hosts, Jonah Hansen.
And I'm Brig Haynes.
Awesome. We got some interesting stories for you this week. But just as a heads up, for the rest of the Bullhorn's episodes this year and for a little bit in January, all the episodes are going to be a little shorter until spring semester starts back up. It's just to accommodate those student writers who are working with the Statesman during the holiday season so that they can spend time with their families.
And I also want to say I apologize if I sound like Darth Vader when I'm speaking with this mask, so just a heads up.
Awesome. Okay, we'll start off with this article by J.C. Cardwell. She wrote an article about the newest member of Logan City Council, Ernesto Lopez. Lopez is a first-generation immigrant from Tijuana, Mexico, and he hopes his diverse perspective will amplify the Hispanic community's voice within Cache Valley. He said, "I am aware that I am serving Logan as a whole, but I do want to make the city, the council, and Logan's population aware of the Hispanic population." Out of 15 applicants for the city council position, he was selected as a finalist alongside former city council member Dean Quayle. His term will last until December 31st, 2021. By that time, Lopez hopes to be able to accomplish many things to improve the city and community in Logan. Lopez has been working in the Cache Valley community since 1999. He has worked as a tutor and mentor for the youth at South Cache Middle School. He has volunteered with the church and has worked with Latinos and with the Latinos in Action group. In Lopez's application for this position, he wrote, "Representing Logan to me would be more than just attending meetings and approving or disapproving initiatives or motions. More than a responsibility, it would be truly a privilege, one that I would perform with sincerity and dedication to make a difference for our community." Congratulations.
Congratulations. All right, since mass testing has begun throughout the college community, USU has found 464 active COVID-19 cases at USU as far as of November 17th. According to USU President Noel Cockett, thousands of students are being tested every day. Nearly 500 appointments were available to students on November 11th during the trial run. Cockett also said the university should expect to see more cases, as Halloween was only a few weeks ago and there was increased socialization between students.
Awesome. Now, on to a kind of tougher topic for you. Harley Barnes covered a story about how domestic abuse violence cases have been rising in Utah. Cache Valley has seen a 110% increase in calls to the hotline Citizens Against Physical and Sexual Abuse, also known as CAPSA, and workers are doing all they can to provide resources for survivors of abuse during the pandemic. But increasing the effort feels overwhelming. CAPSA also provides safe shelters for those fleeing from abusive situations. According to Jill Anderson, the organization's executive director, shelter numbers are up more than 60%. Anderson said, "Abuse rates tend to go up during times of crisis, so we knew we would see an increase, but we did not anticipate the extent we are seeing. During the pandemic, many businesses and organizations needed a chance to breathe and get back on their feet." Anderson said organizations like CAPSA and the Utah Domestic Violence Coalition didn't get that chance. Since the pandemic began, Anderson says CAPSA has been getting more calls from women in grocery stores and doctor's appointments. These, she said, are the only times they are able to get out of the house and away from their abusers, who are often forlorn or working from home. These are trying times, and this is a hard issue to properly cover on this podcast. But if you need or want more resources regarding domestic violence, please visit CAPSA.org.
There are also some amazing opinion articles written this week. Journalistic Responsibility and Media Bias Against Trump by Emily White, and Immigration and U.S. Ironies by Megan Caldwell. Here is Megan explaining a little bit about her article.
Hi, my name is Megan Caldwell. I am a freshman at USU and an opinion columnist for The Statesman. My article this week is titled "The Irony of the United States." This piece is about the contradictory notions of America's individualistic society and the aversion to individualism towards immigrants in different cultures. I'll be talking about the hypocrisy between the American dream, individuality, and sameness in a culture that clashes with its hypocritical views on diversity.
You can find both of them on USUstatesman.com. Do it. They are worth the read. Now let's talk about USU's basketball star wingman Sam Merrill. Sam Merrill is a 6'5" wing with a deadly shooting stroke. In fact, Sam Merrill scored 2,000 points in his career here at USU. With the amount of skill that he has recently been able to obtain a chance in the NBA. Merrill was the 60th pick in the recent NBA draft. Merrill was picked up from the Milwaukee Bucks along with Jordan Nwora. The Milwaukee Bucks have some holes that needed to be filled on the team, and with gaining Sam Merrill on their roster, he has the capability and size to fit three of them. One problem that Merrill might have is that the Bucks are trying to find a budget-free agent veterans to fill these holes first before they give Sam Merrill one of these spots. If the Bucks can't find any budget-free agent veterans to fill these spots, Sam Merrill has a good chance of being an off-the-bench playmaking shooter for the Bucks. We wish Sam Merrill the best of luck with his new career in the NBA.
Okay, and Aggiethon hosted its yearly dance celebration event on November 14th. For those listeners who don't know what Aggiethon is, it is part of a national movement called the Miracle Network Dance Marathon that raises awareness and support throughout the year with a final dance celebration in November. This happens all across the United States on multiple college campuses and within communities. Darcy Ritchie wrote about it and what went down at the one here in Logan, Utah. In 2019, the final Aggiethon celebration brought in 150 to 200 people for about a 10-hour dance marathon. But this year's event, hosted over YouTube Live, looked pretty different due to COVID-19. Though there was some dancing, much of the event this year was spent telling the stories of children Aggiethon is supporting. This year, the Aggiethon community raised $15,177.20 for Primary Children's Hospital. Corbin Casteller, executive director of Aggiethon, said, "We still got a ton of support. Fraternities and sororities were our number one go-to. They had little competitions to see who could raise the most money." Casteller's favorite part of Aggiethon is being able to interact with the kids. He said that unlike fundraisers where you weren't able to see where your contribution goes, Aggiethon participants get to see firsthand who this event is supporting. Good job, Aggies, on raising all that money for Primary Children's Hospital.
Wait for it. Let's talk about Avatar, guys. Appa, yip, yip. Apparently this doesn't work for my dog. I've tried many times. Although the TV series Avatar has some memorable phrases, There's a lot of some serious Yoda-like wisdom incorporated into this show, guys. Dara Lusk expresses her thoughts on the life lessons taught within Avatar. According to Lusk, there are 10 life lessons to be learned from this. I will share a few. Aang taught us peace. Oh, geez, I'm going to butcher some of these names, guys. I'm sorry. Katara taught us hope. Sokka taught us ingenuity. Toph taught us inner strength, and Zuko taught us redemption. Go check out Dara Lusk's reasoning behind each life lesson at the USU Statesman.
Also, like, Avatar The Last Airbender, great show.
Indeed. I totally agree.
Okay. Also, be sure to go and vote on the Best of Logan by filling out the ballots found in printed Statesman paper or going to usustatesman.com/best-of-Logan.
All right, guys, here are the tweets of the week. At TMonson23, remember when Half-Blood Prince callously burned down the borough because they thought the movie was too slow?
The book was good.
I have no idea what this is talking about, so this went right over my head. But
at Avocado Anxiety tweeted, "Do you ever wake up from an inspiring dream with an urge to tweet something revolutionary? This morning, I could not stop thinking that X-Men, mutants, and Harry Potter, witches and wizards are the same, just organized and trained differently."
Oh my gosh. My life is now completed now that I know this.
Is Professor X Dumbledore, or is Dumbledore Professor X?
I think it goes both ways. He can kind of pick which one he wants to be. Well, they can.
Wow. Yeah, okay, impressive. Cool. Impressive.
All right, now we have at Colby Cola saying, no Twitter, I just want stories. I want an edit tweet option.
Yeah, if I want stories, I'll go to TikTok. Come on.
Oh, yeah. I go to that good old Instagram.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Okay, now here is at Hanarchy for the UK who tweeted, can't wait for my Spotify rap to come out and tell me that I spent yet another year listening to the same music I have since I was 14. Got that right. The Black Eyed Peas are coming back.
Oh, yeah.
I'm right. Telling you.
Oh, yeah. Finally, here is the final tweet of the week at Patrick Mason. At breakfast, my daughter exclaimed, nothing actually matters. All we do is live and die to continue the species. Life is pointless. Full-blown existential crisis at age 10. Impressive.
Well, at least she had hers early. I'm having mine right now.
I'm at like a quarter-life crisis right now, and I'm only 18. So
there we go. Well, yep. Thank you so much for listening, and I guess we'll see you next week.
Stay safe out there. See you guys.
Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to find more information on our website, usustatesman.com. This was The Bullhorn.